You, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for as you continue to work in our lives, ministering into our lives, Lord. And may we find sitting quietly before you finds its way into our Mondays and our Tuesdays and our Wednesdays and our Thursdays, day after day. That we're able to find a quiet time in our daily schedule to sit, to listen, to receive. So the birth of the church, that's why we're here today, is because of the birth of the church. The plan of God being fulfilled, amen. Encourage you to allow the plan of God to be fulfilled in your life as well by meditating, of course, on his word, to listen, to respond, to let him lead you into the truth of God's word. Amen. We need that more today than any time that I'm aware of. That's just because this is the day that I'm living in, so I have to kind of preface it that way, just like you preface it, that this is the day that I'm living, and I need his truth, I need his guidance, I need his help, I need his direction, I need him. Amen. But before Jesus ascended, he did have an instruction to the disciples, and that was what? Don't go out until what? The Holy Spirit has come. I think we find in a lot of our structural religious churches and settings of that nature that we gather together and we put a thought together and a plan together and a way to conquer whatever it is that we're to conquer and to go forth. But I believe just like back then that Jesus instructed the disciples, do not go until the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has come. We in our churches today, we individually don't go out until you have what? The Holy Spirit in you, because that is what's going to be needed to address and to minister and to be a help to the people out there. Because what happens if we do it on our own? What happens if we do it on our own unction? My own strength, my own thoughts. It's all temporal. Your strength will not last. Oh, you may go good for about whatever time frame, but you'll hit the wall because you're doing it under your own strength, your own power. We have need to be a church that is ongoing, consistently, day in and day out, from here until when? Until the second coming of the Lord. And not just to run in short little spurts here, and then we set, and then we run, and then we stop, and we got to, oh, we just have to rest. Oh, we just don't know. We don't know the direction. We thought we were on the right road to what we needed to do. But if we allow the Holy Spirit into our church and churches, if I allow the Holy Spirit into this church, me, we will do the right things at the right times for the right reasons. Do you believe that? Rather than build a church, multiply a church, fill the seats, God is not interested in numbers. He's interested in the hearts of the people. But it's not enough just to know God. It's to do God. It's to be God in you, to fulfill what he has for you to do. And it is not just to fulfill just for you. It's for those around you. It's this ripple that comes from us as Christians, as followers of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's to allow that ripple of God to go out and not to stay in. Just like back at the birth of Acts. Amen. So if we look to the Gospels as the record in the life and the ministry of that of Jesus, we can look at the book of Acts as what? As the record in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was functioning from the beginning of time. It hovered above as God proclaimed and created. But the birth of and the focus of the Holy Spirit was why Jesus said, I must go so that he can come. And that's why he told them, do not go until he has come to you as I ascend to my Father. But when he comes, you're going to know it. Because what happened in that upper room when he came? Woo! Things began to happen, right? So let us look at Acts as the birth or the record of, I should say, the record of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what happened in Acts was the birth of the church. First things is this, that Jesus gave the disciples some instructions to follow just before he ascended into heaven. You can go there with Acts 1:4. And it says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Jesus was about his Father's business. Jesus spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Here we find obedience on the part of the disciples as they did what Jesus has commanded. And we can say that because of this obedience, they've received that of the Holy Spirit. We find out in our life and our walk with that of God that you've got to have obedience. Obedience to the things of God. Obedience to his word, to what his word says. His word has said it. There's no reading between the lines. And it's a definite, this is what it's about. We find in Acts 1:4-5. Well, we already just said that, but we ended up with 5. Let me read it here that I've got on my paper. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But go and wait. Here we find that obedience. In our study of 119, we find in Psalms 119, that for the Word of God and the direction of God's Word in our lives, even today, that it can take on many flavors. It could be a precept. It could be a command, you know. It could be that Word of God. And a commandment, I know at times when we hear a command, we don't like it a lot of times because I don't want to be commanded. How many here wants to be commanded to do something? But if we look at it in the light of what God is saying, these are my commandments. Whether they're the Ten Commandments or they're just commandments of doing this and doing that, and choosing this day and all these things, we find out that we've got to take the Bible in its entirety, Old Testament and New Testament. So we move on into Acts 2:1-4. It says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with all one accord, meaning they were all together, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues, or tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Yeah. Everybody there, there's a fire above their heads. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit had given them utterance. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to start talking. You're not generally going to be able to maybe shut down until the Spirit says enough, but you get hooked into that of the power of the Holy Spirit, and it'll go, and he will move through you. You are that of a conduit of the power of God and the Spirit of God moving in a place. You could go out there and be that representative of God, that of a disciple, a follower of Christ, to go out and preach the good news, to give the good news of that person. Your life can change. You can have a guarantee of where you're going to spend eternity. You can have a good, blessed life even on this earth. Now, you'll still have some problems, and you'll still have some persecutions and situations. But God will be there with you to help you through. He will take that load from you. There's a lot of things on this side of heaven that we don't understand, like when we pray and ask and intercede, that we don't get the fulfillment of what our request is. It's not getting what I am praying about, what I am desiring, what I want you to do, Lord. A mature Christian Christian, a mature follower of Christ, is going to, I believe, always understand that it is only by the will of the Father in heaven of what gets accomplished here on this earth. Nothing that I can coerce him with, nothing that I can twist his arm with, nothing that I can use double talk or double speech with. It's all ultimately up to him. And the thing for me, this is me personally, is that I have got to learn to rest in that of God as my God, my Father in heaven, who knows a whole lot more better about what I need than I need of what I know that I need. And I have to trust that he's there. And I do trust that he's there and that he will see me through one way or another. But to be able to do all that, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in me, I hope in you, or I trust in you as well, that you have that relationship with God that I can and you can instantly hear and receive from him if we sit quiet enough, if we meditate enough, if we just kind of shut our mouth and just say, okay, here I am, God. Speak to me. The church came about. The church was birthed this day, Pentecost, because of the Holy Spirit. And if it happened back then, the birth of the church and the power in the church at that time, do you not think that we would have that same power in today in our churches of today that are truly churches that have said, come in and be here, come in and reside with us, oh Holy Spirit, all honor, all glory, all power is to you. It's not in my programs. It's not in my decisions. It's not because I can speak very eloquently or I can come up with all kinds of catchy phrases or I can do this or that on what man tries to do to stimulate man or a group of people to follow. We have known that people are very charismatic. We've got to be careful of charismatic. We hear people, he's a very charismatic preacher. She's a very charismatic preacher. There's a part of that that may be good, but there's a part of that that there, you better guard yourself because those are the charismatic people that I've looked at or we've heard in the past that have been able to get people to drink Kool-Aid. They have been able to have them sell all their property because, you know, Jesus is coming back. This is what I say, and this is, we're going to the desert. Sell your houses, quit your jobs. They all went out to the desert and they sat. And they sat. And they sat. But they listened to a very charismatic individual that could somehow be used, and those people are used by the devil to coerce people into believing these things. They're coming from the heavenly God when it's only coming from the God of this earth, the God of this world, Satan, to distort truth and the trueness of what God is about. Because let one or two of those crazy things happen in a society and what is talked about for decades, or at least for several years. I wonder at times if those things come about when God is about ready, and God can do magnificent things, and that's not going to sideline God. If it's on God's timetable, it's going to happen. Do you believe that? But I also wonder at times when these things come about and God is going to do a mighty move, some of these crazy things happen and then somebody starts speaking truly that of God and the world's going to say, oh yeah, another one of those things. Another one of those false things that somebody has got these people coming and living. There's been so much distortion of what true following of God is about. And it's when man gets in the middle of it, not being that filled with the Holy Spirit, they get filled with enough of what? Themselves. Now maybe some of them started out on track. There are some stories of that. But something along the line happened to where they went this way and the Spirit was going this way and they thought their way was the better way. And people are always looking for something that they can visually see, aren't they? Give me something visually to see that I can follow, and I generally will follow that a whole lot easier than saying, hey, come with me, I'm following the Holy Spirit. Where are we going? I don't know, but we're following the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know about that. Now, there'll be some of us going, hey, let's go. I'm ready. But the power of the Holy Spirit is today. The power of the Holy Spirit is for the church of today. So many of our churches, you know, we look at these things, and it's on the growth of how we can grow. They look at church growth groups to how do you grow the church? How do we develop the church? How do we get bigger? When ultimately we should consult that and follow of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to lead you. Allow the Spirit to guide you. Allow the Spirit to build His church. Amen. Because whatever the Spirit is building, whatever the Holy Spirit is involved in, it's going to be good. It's going to be beneficial. It's going to be effective. It's going to accomplish what God is wanting to accomplish through that of the Holy Spirit in this group of people, in this masses of people, in this group, whatever it is, it will be accomplished by that of God. But we've got to be obedient, obedient, and obedient. I wonder how many back in that day when Jesus said, go and wait. I wonder if there's any in that group saying, it's been a couple of days. Hey, oh, enough waiting. Let's go. Come on. We can do it. It is hard to wait, isn't it? It's only when you're trying to wait that it takes so long for it to come at times. And so we can get ahead of God, and then when we get ahead of God, we blame God for not being where we're at when it's us that got us there because of our own desires, our own thoughts of what we think God is going to do. You can ask me, what do you think God is going to do in this situation? I have no clue, but all I know is God, and He will be in that situation. And if God is in it, it'll be fulfilling what He wants to be fulfilled. And it will come to pass. But any of us that want to wait, we don't want to wait. I mean, I tell you what, there's things, it's gotten a whole lot better, okay? Because now you can order something on Monday and it'll be here Tuesday. I don't know how that works. Back in the day, you used to order something in the old Sears catalog, and it took maybe a week or 10 days or 14 days to get to your little town. But yeah, you know, it was like back in the days when you could wait and had anticipation, it just drove your desire for that much more. Because you were anticipating, it's coming, I hear it, I know that I've ordered. And back in those days, they didn't send you a text every 3 hours or every day saying, okay, it just left our depot, now it's over here, now it's over here, now it's over there. You're not getting those updated feeds as far as where your good stuff is at. You just knew, I ordered it, it said it shipped, I can't wait. The Holy Spirit, whoo, has been shipped, He's here. I hope we can't wait. Oh, Lord, come, 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 come. But then when He does come, it might be requiring of us to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. I understand it at times, and we know that Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I don't know at times in my natural thoughts of when I wait upon the Lord, it seems like I'm getting weaker because I'm putting so much thought in. I don't want to wait. I want it now. Oh, come on, hurry up, hurry up. We got to sit back, take a step back, two steps back and say, we have got to wait upon the Lord. But by waiting upon the Lord, we don't want to miss the Lord. Stay alert. Be looking. Be sensitive. And react when He comes. We find churches today that we want to be relevant for today in so many ways. They may have started out allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them. And then they got off track because it didn't come, or He didn't come fast enough, or He didn't do it the way they wanted it because they thought this is the plan. Now we find also that churches that have been following and going about by that of the Holy Spirit, sometimes they did get in error. We've already talked about this. Some men and women, good men and women, began foundationally of following God through that of the Spirit, had a wonderful following, but they got off track. They got corrupted, like that in some of our computer systems, you know. You can have a good file there, but let some kind of a virus come into it and it'll corrupt it and you can't open it up anymore. You got to start over again. Or it's no longer valid. They got corrupted by the spirit of deception, by that of the devil, to do it this way. And so here again, we look at these situations, and I'm just so powerful of God that he can sustain himself through these things, okay? He will come out of it. He will fulfill what he wants. But it's one of those things that we have to sometimes battle against is some of the churches will become spiritually weird. You know, anybody been to a spiritually weird church? I mean, I don't know if that's the right terminology. I don't want to, you know, look down upon the spirit being weird, but I think the people have taken it and they've corrupted it to the point of how they allow it to move in their services or within themselves. We come to some people where they say, you know, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That we've gotten ourselves into a spiritual euphoria. And it's not a whole lot of that. I think it's a lot of us in that we begin to corrupt some of those things. I know I'm not speaking out of turn because I know there's people in churches out there that are spiritually weird. Is it that of the true spirit? I've always said even here, many years back, we had a lot of things happening. If I didn't go along what I thought, I never said shut it down. I never walked out. But I'd go to my Father and say, Father, if this is not of you in the Spirit, take it out of here, remove it, shut it down, whatever, Lord. You do whatever you want, but it is if it is not you, I don't want to see anything happening that's not of you. I don't want manipulation. I don't want hocus pocus. I don't want all of these things and mumbo-jumbo stuff and people begin to believe these things and they just come out. I have a struggle at times with that, even within myself. Because I don't want people coming to my God to abuse him and to use him because they heard some phenomenal, fantastic things are happening, so they just start showing up. And once the Shekinah glory goes, where do they go? They follow it somewhere else or they're gone. You know, when everything's happening and there's maybe some of that weirdness happening, people are here. People are growing. It's coming. It's going, oh, you ought to go to that church. You ought to see the Spirit's moving every day. Oh, it's awesome. And then, okay, if it's truly that of God, and God, I don't know how he works these things out. He's God. But if he takes that spirit and he moves it down the road, or he takes that spirit and he says, my people are there, they have come, they are seeing my power, now I'm going to just step back, I will still be there, I wonder if they will be there. How many people stay in a situation like that? They get so indoctrinated of, it's got to be a show every Sunday, that's why I come. And all of a sudden, God says, I know what's happening, you're only coming to see what I am doing. But I have no part of your life because you're not being obedient to me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever the case is. So I'm going to step back. I'll still be there. And I'm going to see what happens. More times than not, I've seen it. Maybe you've seen it. People all of a sudden just start going out and they're gone. They're looking for the next wave. And a lot of it is good waves of God. But even those good things of God can be distorted and can be taken out to where man gets in and corrupts it. I know God is big. I've heard people say, I am so mad at God, I'm yelling at him. And I go, yell all you want. He's a big God. He can handle it. I'm not going to sit there and run interference for God thinking that I've got to take that and protect God. I will protect God in those areas of an anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, and what God is wanting to do. But you can go kick God on the shins. I don't care. He's a big God. And generally, if you're hurting, and you've been really going through a problem, it's probably something that he would understand. It's okay. It's okay. My God is a loving God. My God is a caring God. My God cares for me. I have got to care for my God, though. I got to guard him in my heart and guard him with my thoughts and do all I can to stay on his plane of where he's at. But we try to be relevant. We try to do what we want to, the world, what we think the world needs. And sometimes to do that, we have flashy things. We got to have, you know, we let's read this here. Let me just stay on task here. If we keep the Holy Spirit out of our service, we also keep the power of God outside our churches as well. The church at large then becomes a club where people meet and we socialize. And instead of waiting for the Holy Spirit to surround us, we're looking at our surroundings rather than looking for the Spirit to surround us. What does that mean? You know, does the church have the newest and the greatest? Do they have, you know, smoke machines and laser lights? And, or, you know, do they have all of these lights flashing and it's really a glitz? It looks like a nightclub. Go back to the days of Dance Fever. Come on, somebody stand up and dance, you know. Do the John Travolta. You know, lights, mirrored ceilings, all these things just to ramp up people. Does the church have the newest and the greatest? I don't need the newest and the greatest. All I need is the Holy Spirit. All I need is God because his mercies are new anyway. Every day it says, right? Do they hype the crowd? We've already talked about that. Flashing signs outside, catchy little phrases, tweetable things that they, hey, get your phones out and tweet this. I'm going to say this. Tweet it out to your 500 friends. You know, tweet, tweet, tweet. If that is the church of today, there's a good chance they've left the Holy Spirit and his power out. And we're trying to do it on our own power of way we can do things. Because if I can keep you interested in this next thing, this next thing, this next thing. I remember reading an article one time, from Kenneth Hagin, years back. And he said this in an article. He says, whatever brought that person to your church, if it was a special event, special teaching, special whatever, once that class, once that session, once that group, whatever the case is that brought them there, once that has dissolved or it's no longer active, chances are they will leave and find the next church that's got something going that they like that study. They weren't there to be touched by God. They were there just to get what they could get out of that study, out of that group. And now it's like, well, now it's not relevant to me today. Oh, where is that teaching? And it's always stuck in the back of my mind that whatever has drew or brought people to your church, you're going to have to generally maintain it or they will leave. Cases in point, I've heard pastors say, even in our little groups around this area, one pastor has a church and did multiple services because there were sizes and they thought that's what they needed. Telling another pastor several years back now, he goes, oh, I wish I had never done two or three services on a Sunday. It's taxing, you know, praise team and all that, and you got to keep, you know, people coming. And he says, but the fun thing is, he says, if we don't do it, people will generally leave. Those that go to a second service, if you take the second service out, they'll find a church that has a second service on that time frame that they got accustomed to or whatever. I don't know exactly. He says, I wish we never would have gone to that. Because it was like the same thing. Because once we pull it back, and I've heard, there's a big church in Beloit that did that. Just arbitrarily, they decided to do away with a Saturday service because they had enlarged. They had a bigger auditorium. We can handle everybody now in just one setting. What's wrong with that? Let's be the church where we all come together at the same time. What's wrong with that? They did that, and I don't know how many they lost, but generally, I would say, I don't know, I'm throwing a number out there, it could be high, it could be low, 75% of their Saturday attendance went somewhere else because they got into this habit, they got into this is what brought me here, and if you don't have it, I'm out of here. God didn't bring them there. They weren't getting fed the Holy Spirit there. They weren't learning, growing, maturing, developing, allowing to see God into their lives to change situations in their life. They were there just to get what they could get, and if they couldn't get it any longer, they were out the back door. Do you not believe people are fickled? Yeah, we all are. I am. I'm fickled. Are you fickled? Come on. But to get past that, I got to stay connected to God. And if it doesn't set well with me and what I want, it's not what Tim wants, it's what he wants. Remember the saying of Mark Brennenkamp? It's not what some say, it's what he say, and what he say, I say. It's interesting. Does anybody else have things flash back into their thoughts, in your spirit, of things that you've heard or people that have spoken something, a little phrase, little catchy phrase? But I mean, it's one of those things that I think the Spirit, I'm thankful he kind of brings it back in, and it's like, oh, I'm not going to say what, you know. It's that thing like, you know, like the doctor saying you've got, you know, 6 months to live. Well, he's saying that, but my Father, I'm going to say what he's saying. Now, you may die here, but you're going to live forever in heaven. We can get into all that area there too. You know, doctors, medicine, science, and all these things. But the ultimate thing is, we have our trust in God. We're led by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saying that in a way, I'm glad Jesus left. Because he said, I've got to go. How many people would say, oh no, stay with us a little while longer. Stay here because you're healing, you're touching. Didn't realize that Jesus going, that by that of the Holy Spirit, that healing is going to be here whether Jesus is here or not. The anointing of healing, the anointing that we ask, Lord, let your anointed healing flow. Heal us, touch us, Lord. And I know as I look around and I know myself with this, that I'm still developing and waiting and believing for a healing in that ear. And it'll pop back or what. But I just think, Lord, you know, I'm doing the medicine thing and all. I don't doubt you. Complete this healing. Complete the opening. Do whatever it is, Lord. Renew these things. That which does the greatest for the kingdom of God generally are those that are going through a struggle on this earth, but they're still honoring God. Because the world looks at that. And they go, how can you be so happy with God? That gentleman, barm with no legs, no arms, little flipper thing on his foot. Powerful testimony, but he gives God the glory. He goes and gives a talk. They have to take him and send him up on a table so people out there can see him because he's only this tall. But he's a powerhouse for speaking of God. There's others like that out there. Now, Lord, I'm not asking me to stay this way so I can... I'm trusting you, Lord. Aren't we all trusting him? Father, we love you. And we come to you, Lord, at the time of need. And I know that you're there at that time of need. And I know that you know what I need. And I'm just going to thank you and praise you for your touch. Upon my knee, upon my eyes, upon my ear, upon whatever the case is, my heart, my lungs. I'm going to trust you, Lord. We must keep the Holy Spirit involved in every service that we're in. His work is the primary focus of the church, not the supplemental part of the church. Now, oh boy, we got a lot of time here. Supplements. I'm getting to that age of 65. Oh, I am so I don't know what. Supplements. Supplement that, supplement this. I've got this, but you need more. You have this, but it's not enough. Supplement that. The world works on supplements. We have supplements, vitamins, and things like that to supplement your body to when it's not manufacturing what it needs. Here, take a supplement. But the Spirit of God is not a supplement to the working of the church. It's the key integral part of the church, his church. So many times we put the Holy Spirit, the power of God, as a supplemental thing out there. And it's like, I don't want to get to that until I get what I've got to say out first. And then if there's any time, come on in, God. No, it's got to be God first at the beginning and throughout the whole thing. But many times we begin to put the Holy Spirit as the supplemental part of our church. We find that people back in the book of Acts needed to see his power. The people of today, they need to see his power. There needs to be an emphasis on the Holy Spirit's power to transform, to break the bad habits, to break addictions, to renew relationships. It's all by that of the Holy Spirit, if we can just allow Him to come into those areas and turn it over to Him. There needs to be an emphasis on the Holy Spirit's power to transform, to help break bad habits, to lead us and guide us into all truth and into the direction that God has for us. It's a powerful testimony. People that are addicted to whatever, they get touched by that of God through that of salvation, or throughout after their salvation has been satisfied as far as receiving Christ, forgiving of sins, that somewhere along their walk, all of a sudden they're dealing with a situation of an addiction or a habit, and it's a bad habit, a bad addiction, and they go to the altar, or they're right there in their home, wherever the case, they're out on the park bench, whatever the case might be, they may even be out there trying to score another hit, and all of a sudden the power of God hits them, and they no longer have a desire for that habit, for that addiction. Cigarettes. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I smoke, you know, like 3 packs a day, and all of a sudden I just turn them over to God, and boom, the next day or whatever, it's like, I'm free. Those things happen. Now, do they happen to everybody? No. Don't ask me why. Just like God. God will not force you for you to take Him. Didn't God say, choose this day? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will only go as far as you will allow Him to go in your life or in your situation. Really, many may not even know how far to allow Him until they really know the need that they have. Or the Spirit, that of God, or the Holy Spirit, Jesus never forced Himself upon people. People what? Came to Him. They came to Him. The Holy Spirit is the same. He's not going to force Himself. I can't go and say, ooh, bless God, Lord. I just pray the Holy Spirit in this person and just fall on them heavy and just don't give up on them, you know? Just take them over. You've got to be willing and say, come, Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. And realize He's all honor, all power, and all glory. So if we would surrender ourselves over to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance, we will go so much further with the things of God in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to even figure out on your own what you need. Has anybody ever been there? Have you ever tried to figure out what you really need and you just said, yeah, brother, I see that. There's times I go, God. Because when I'm looking at situations, it's like, what is it, Lord? I've got a need, but I just don't know how to phrase it, or I just don't know what it is. What is it? Allow the Spirit of God to come in and rearrange those thoughts. Touch your heart. And you might find that what is affecting this or that could be something within here that I just need to change my heart. I just need to do something, whatever it is. But, you know, we come to so much of wanting, I need, to where if we would just come to Him and say, all honor, all glory, all power. I don't need anything else from You, Lord. Salvation, that's it. But see, in our conversations with Him, we know that He's got more for us because He says He's got more for us. So we want to gain that. We want to receive that, but receive it in the right way, in the right tone. There is a certain unique dynamic to the Spirit-led ministry. The model for this church needs to be after the Holy Spirit, not on what has been done in the past. The Holy Spirit is doing new and fresh things in our midst. We need to be looking for them and allowing them to change us in our situation. We need to stop limiting the Holy Spirit and always remember to invite Him into the service. I loved it this morning, just worship in the beginning and just to be sitting quietly before Him. And I, in my own spirit, would know that He touched more of your spirit in the 10 or 15 minutes, whatever the case might be, that was quiet time before Him than 5 hours of ministry from the pulpit with God's Word for the most part, because the Spirit, He gets into the depths of you. He knows what it is that you're struggling with. He knows what you need help with. He can take that. He can give you the strength. He can give you that peace. He can take away that anxiety. He can give you that comfort. He can bring you that joy. He can do all of these things. That what you need is what He knows what you need. We just need to turn ourselves over to him and wait upon him. So we need to stop limiting the Holy Spirit. Remember to invite him into our service. Methods, program, structure, pursuing, putting seats in the seat should never take over the more important part of the church, and that's our pursuit of the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the bondages. It's the anointing that heals relationships. It's the anointing that heals and restores individuals. It's the anointing that, fill in the blank, what is missing in your life, what is needing to be addressed, what is needing to be improved, what is needing to be changed. It's the anointing of God through the Holy Spirit that will help and begin to change that. The power of the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the greatest church builder. He can expand God's kingdom. He did back then. We didn't get into it, but you begin to look in Acts, and it talks in, let's see here, oops. In Acts 6:5, and we talk about the expanding. The church is going to expand, amen, until he returns. He is the great master church builder and expander. Now we find in Acts 6:7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You can go through and find throughout Acts the following. In Acts 9:31, 12:24, 16:5, 19:20, and it looks like 28:31. That's, you know, like chapter 16, verse 5. You can go through there as an example. If I go to 12:24, it's going to take you through a path, and it says in 12:24, talks about Herod's violent death, but it talks about the word of God grew and it multiplied. The word of God grew and it multiplied. My. We're looking at that in 119 in Psalms and going through like the word of God and the heart, how many times that's mentioned throughout that. But it's amazing. You start going through the scriptures and you find this leading word, this leading phrase is penned throughout. And so as far as the churches, remember, hey, hallelujah, that God, hey, we just need to submit humbly to him, seek his guidance, and then not have him as an afterthought. Anybody had God as an afterthought after you've tried something? Maybe I ought to try God. Well, I hope you've learned fast. I'm still on that curve, but I think I've gotten a whole lot better than what I had been. Because it's like I might try to initially entertain that, and I thought, maybe I just better go straight to the source. God. Because if we do that, it'll limit your frustrations. If you do that, it will keep you joyfully. It will keep a spring in your step. You won't be dragging your tail between your legs like, you know. Go to God first on anything and everything. Remember, look at Peter. Remember Peter? What a character. How could somebody deny him? Remember Peter, he denied Jesus, but he also was that same Peter who stood among thousands and he boldly proclaimed the gospel. What was that difference? It was that of the Holy Spirit giving him the boldness. The Spirit of God in you will give you boldness. You will say things around people that you didn't even know, like, how could I even say that? I wasn't even thinking that. Maybe I was thinking it, but you know, some years back, I'd be scared to say it because who am I? Well, if you're a child of God, if you're out there proclaiming the kingdom, if you're the church out there, you will have a boldness, and the boldness should be that of the Spirit of God, not your boldness, because sometimes that can get kind of brash, you know. You want to be bold and in love, you know. And in closing here, so we remember Peter, but in Acts 2:38, then Peter says to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Peter. We look at this guy like, hey, there's hope for me. How about you? I can deny Jesus, but I can come back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Those stories, those happenings in the scriptures are there for us today to look at our own selves specifically, to know that we are not a lost cause. that we are not past the grasp of that of God, of that of Christ, of that of the Holy Spirit, while there's still breath in our lungs, to where we can come back, ask for forgiveness, repent, whatever it is that the Spirit is telling you and what you need to do for whatever happened. But there's hope, amen, hope for each and every one of us, even if you go through and you do some silly things, that for God. That for God. And that's one of the easiest things. Isn't it one of the easiest things to do is to deny that of Christ, even in your life today? You know, you get into a mixed group, family and all that, and they're talking, and they start talking about this, oh, I hear so-and-so, oh, hey, you go to church and all, and things of that nature, and you might just kind of be like a little, you know, you just start sinking, like, oh, yeah, I go to church. It's just something we normally do on Sunday. It's fun. It's good. It's the club. I go to the club. And you don't want to speak a whole lot about it. But then after time and service with that of God, it's like they bring it up and you just, hallelujah, yes, I go to church. How about you? Well, I don't. Well, you ought to start, because it'd be a big help in your life, brother or sister. Well, how do you know that? There's your testimonial time. Because this is where I was at and this is where I'm at now. And it's only by the grace of God. And that grace of God that I got and received, He's got some saved up for you. You sinner. You may not want to say that, but leave the sinner part. He's got some for you too, brother. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. He's no respecter of person. But there is a time as we serve Him longer and we see Him in our lives, and our lives are evolving more around Him and He's in our lives. And oh my goodness, I eat, I drink, I breathe, I sleep, I think, I shout the Lord, hallelujah, in my job, in my work, in my retirement, in whatever it is that you're in. Ah, Father. Maybe we ought to sing happy birthday to the church. It's the birthday of the church, eh? Happy birthday. I should have made cupcakes like Terry would have done for the kids, okay? So I'm failing, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just not there yet. But the birth of the church, Pentecost Sunday, powerful time in the church. It's a powerful time for the church of today. It's a powerful time in your life today and tomorrow and into all of your tomorrows. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord, for the Spirit's coming. So thank You, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit, for what the Spirit is about, leading us, guiding us, keeping us in the truth. Oh, Father. Lord, we thank You for the Acts, the book of Acts. We thank You for the power of that coming down upon the disciples in that upper room. And Father, how it has advanced the church all of these centuries, Father God, and it will continue to advance. Even in our days, Lord, as we look at things happening in the craziness of our life, my goodness, Lord, but Your church will rise up. Your true church will rise up. Your church will not go down. Your church, Father, will stand amongst all the crazy, silly things. Your church will stand against the demonic that is upon this earth even today. And that, Father, it will even expand and go forth even into other areas, Lord, as You continue to minister through that of the Holy Spirit into the lives of those that You've called. And You've called us all to go. Go. Go and proclaim. Find us doing that, Lord, that we go and we proclaim. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Be with us this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.